This story is from my book called Broken Buddha, and it's the title story. Broken Buddha is the title of a photograph in my online art collection. It shows the lap of a painted statue. One graceful hand has broken off and is resting on the sole of an upturned foot. I'm trying to figure out why I'm so drawn to this image, the enlightened one, as imperfect, cracked, and chipped. Maybe that is how my enlightenment feels. It's not all that shiny anymore. A piece or two might have gotten knocked off. I don't know why. It makes me remember a woman, we'll call her Julie Gates, who was a pillar of my husband's Presbyterian church. Tall, slender, righteous, well put together in pumps and pearls, Julie was a community saint, an icon, who had founded Senior Communications, connecting the elderly all over town. Whenever her name was mentioned, someone would breathe out reverently, "Oh, she's wonderful." And everyone around would nod with downcast eyes and soft faces. She and her husband were to leave that church within a year because it wasn't Christian enough. "How are you enjoying being a mother?" she asked me. We had two small boys, one maybe 5 years old and the other one still a toddler. My husband, the minister, was gone a lot, and I was juggling a therapy practice, mothering, and being a writer. "I love it," I said. "I mean, I'm tired of changing diapers, but the rest is great." It's the kind of thing parents say to one another to make the connection of telling the truth about one's life. Most people would touch your arm with a warm smile full of understanding, and your hearts would beat together for a moment, leaving both of you strengthened. She did not touch my arm. She fixed me with an intense gaze and said, "I loved changing diapers. I loved every minute of raising my children. Every minute." My heart sank. I don't know what her heart was doing. I couldn't feel her heart anywhere. There's nothing crueler than suggesting to a young mother that she's not a good one. She quietly suspects that's true every single day of her life. I say my heart sank, but that's only half the truth. It sank into a fighting stance with both hands raised. This particularly crappy combination of sweetness and meanness had been coming at me from church people since I was 8 years old. There was a line to toe. There was a circle of approved thoughts and behaviors within which to stay if you were to be a member of the group in good standing. If it looked as though you were about to stray, the enforcers descended with that exact tone. "Oh, you don't think that," they would say, with a tinkling laugh. A spiritual person was supposed to be victorious, triumphant in the conquering of life's difficulties, praising God in the midst of any circumstance, grateful for whatever came, peaceful in the heart always. If you didn't feel it, by God, you should just act as if you did, or it would spook all the other horses in the pasture. The Broken Buddha says, "I don't have to be scared of being the way I am." I've met some non-evangelicals with that same cruel but somehow comfortable worldview. As a practicing therapist, I met a lot of people who trusted in therapy. They would speak as if you could get help for any situation and handle it with your head held high, your intellect clear, and your feelings in good order. If you get healthy enough, you're supposed to be able to go through even a nasty divorce with peace in your heart. If something disturbing disturbs you, you should go get help. The Broken Buddha tells me that sometimes agony is appropriate. The part of me I'm least proud of imagines that this Buddha's hand detached when he reached out to someone who said something on the order of, "Everything happens the way it should," and slapped them silly. In a dream workshop I was leading, an older woman was sharing her grief at having lost her son in his 20s to melanoma. They hadn't seen it because it was under his hair. A woman across the table tilted her head and spoke in that breathy voice that some people feel makes them sound more spiritual. Her eyes were wide, too, and she didn't blink. "Have you ever thought about why he might have wanted to draw that suffering into his life? Why you might have wanted to draw it into yours?" The Broken Buddha tells me that life is not neat. Life is gorgeous and horrific and beyond understanding. We may create certain situations or draw certain things, but other suffering strikes like a tiger from the tall grass, snatching us from one life into another without cause or warning. I meditate on the broken hand of the Buddha, and it comforts me. It tells me that the spiritual moves in and through cracks and gaps, that it is wild and doesn't make sense. It sits with you even through something that can't be fixed by intelligence or kindness or love.